I'm in Coventry Cathedral today with Catherine Fleming, and I'm really excited because I haven't seen Catherine for ages. And we trained together.
We really did.
We really did. And you came to visit when Elspeth was born.
When she was absolutely minuscule, because you had the good sense to have her on my patch.
Yes.
It was excellent.
And the teddy bear you brought has been on many adventures all around the world. He's called Teddy Jones, and he's a pirate teddy. You may not have realised that when you bought him.
I clearly recognise hidden potential, though, so that's the main thing.
So the first question is, how and where did we first meet?
So we met, I would guess, at Langasti on a retreat for brand new learning to be vicar people.
Yes, I was talking to Richard Clutterbuck about that, because it was the weekend after the World Trade Center attacks.
It really was, yes.
And that was quite hard, I think, for everybody.
Yes, yes. Well, I'd just seen Richard to sort out whether I was going to jump a year or not, because I was already a licensed reader and was driving up the hill from Gloucester when Radio 4 suddenly interrupted its broadcasts and the world changed. Yeah.
So we did the course together, and I have to admit, the course was great fun.
I really enjoyed it.
And we had a really good group of people in our year, which was really good. So the next question is, do you drink tea?
I do.
And what is your favourite sort of tea?
Oh, I think my favourite is a good Earl Grey. Yeah.
And so I have to ask this. Do you milk your Earl Grey?
Don't tell my mother. Yes.
We did have a discussion. And I think the Queen drinks Earl Grey with milk. I think we might need to check that. I've definitely read that somewhere.
That would make me very happy.
I'll try and Google that later, Catherine. So next question, which I'm asking everybody, is how do you respond to the statement Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
I think that's probably quite a sensible statement. I think institutional Christianity in the UK probably is dying, but there are so many hopeful signs of kind of grassroots baby churches springing up and groups that wouldn't describe themselves as churches, but people who have got excited about the story of Jesus and about the rumour of God. So many stories like that that suggest an organism that's alive. The institution, maybe not.
Mm. That worries me slightly when I'm hearing that from you in your position, but we'll come on to that in a minute. So you're here at Coventry Cathedral, and I guess we probably ought to say something about your position. So I think you're canon pastor, is that right?
Well done, yes. That's really good, Janet. Yes. I get accused of all sorts of other jobs, but yes.
So the next question is, what is the
canon pastor? Yes, and I'm 4 years in. I'm probably just about beginning to get some of what it is. If you take cathedral life as having kind of maybe three particular focuses, mine is the people. So I do all the soft, fuzzy stuff. I nurture the cathedral Sunday morning community. I work with the Monday to Friday staff and volunteers. And I'm also, I guess, the public face of the cathedral to the city to some extent. The dean does the high level things, and I'm the, there's been a wonderful miraculous baby and we need 5,000 people to come to the christening, or there's been an awful tragedy, can you hold the space for them? So yeah, it's all the people-y bits of the job, really.
Are you enjoying it so far?
Yes, I am. There are things about parish ministry that I miss desperately. That sense of travelling with a community and falling over them when you walk the dog and when you go to co-op and all of that, I don't get at all. And most of my Sunday congregation are dispersed around the city and beyond, and their whole church life is focused on Sunday morning. So there's none of that sense of travelling together in faith with them, as was my experience in parish ministry. But set against that, amazing opportunities you start celebrating Eucharist on a Saturday lunchtime and it's you and one old lady, and suddenly a coachload of Germans arrives and cannot believe that they're being invited in to worship in a place that they bombed, and all of that great big reconciliation story. And extraordinary people, you know, kind of the great and the good, and wonderful artistic and musical opportunities. I got to say thank you to the 16 for being the 16, and they've been, you know, such a source of joy to me over so many years. And they sing once a year in the place I get to work, and I get to say thank you. How cool is that?
Very cool, I think. And so I have some extra special questions for you. The first is a bit autobiographical on my part. When I was about 10 years old, I told the person charging admission to Bath Abbey, I don't think Jesus would be very happy with you doing that. How has the drop in charge for admission to Coventry Cathedral been possible?
It's been possible because the diocese have been very, very helpful. They've given us a huge amount of support in bringing in the changes well, because the thing is, you can't just take down the sign that says admission X pounds and just assume it will all work. So they've helped us with training of staff, with employing a consultant to help us work out how best to make the ask, because although we've become open admission, we still have no money. We're still utterly dependent on people giving us money and giving us more than the 11p a head, which is the average gift across where you just ask for a donation. So Lichfield's tops the cathedral table at £1.73, and when you think it costs about £400 an hour to keep the show on the road, that's quite challenging. So we have to be quite intentional in encouraging people to give, but we're very keen not to make that invitation a barrier. So we don't ask them on the door. We say, you're really welcome to come and it's wonderful to see you. You will be asked for a donation at some point in your visit, just so you know. But we don't do that kind of, it's an admission charge by stealth.
The picture I remember of Bath Abbey, we have to remember this was the 1970s, and so quite possibly 1980, but not that would have been the last, was a row of green baize tables with money piled up on them. and coming in, and literally people saying, you need to give us this money. Yes. And I think I must have been to Sunday school and recently about that, but it was, for me, I think it was the visual effect was very much the money changers table in all that.
Understandably, yes. Yes. So in fact, physically, we've changed very little. We've taken down a sign, and we're using the same desk that's always been called the welcome desk. There's still a till there because it's where they can buy guidebooks and things like that. We never demanded that people paid to come in to pray. And because we are not the sort of cathedral that has a little area you can hive off, basically if you came in to pray, you got at least a reasonable taste of the whole cathedral experience. But it's just lovely that people can pop in now. They don't have to plan to come. Because if you've got 20 minutes before a train, you might pop into the cathedral. If you've got 20 minutes before a train and it's going to cost you £6, you won't. And it's that sort of thing that I think is going to really change the climate for us. We're only 10 days in, though, so it's a, you know, it's a brave new world.
I was going to ask what the charge had been.
Yeah, so it was £6 for adults. It was free for under 18s, free for students, and I think it was £5 for pensioners. I might be wrong on that one, but there was a reduction for pensioners. So we were towards the low end of charging. But it brought in 10,000 a year, which, no, it didn't. It brought in 100,000 a year, which we needed. I can't do noughts.
Will the tax reclaim be easier from the gifts that people give?
Well, I suppose potentially, yes. I mean, if they do gift aid, then it's fine. They're invited to gift aid. But often people, particularly if they're, you know, giving you £2, won't. Even though there's still something worth having on that. But yes, I guess it probably will. I try and leave that to those as understand such things.
I believe you might have a canon treasurer for that purpose.
Actually, it's a myth. We don't.
You don't have...
We have no such being. You there don't... is a parking space for the canon treasurer, but no such being. We have a wonderful cathedral administrator who's been in post for 2 years and who is helping us with strategy and process, neither of which are kind of natural fits for some of us.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because I was ordained in Wells Cathedral, and a few times I've been to Wells, and I haven't actually been into the cathedral. Most of the times, to be honest, I've not had enough time go in. But a little bit of me is in that position of actually, I would feel they've changed how you enter and all that sort of thing. I would feel quite uncomfortable about being charged to go into the cathedral building in which I was ordained.
Yeah.
And I just haven't...
It's really hard, isn't it? Because, I mean, I found myself in all sorts of conversations while we were charging on Facebook with people who were just really cross about it and about the concept of cathedrals charging. But I think those same people would be even more cross if the cathedral was closed Monday through Saturday. And certainly for ourselves, the first cathedral was destroyed at the Reformation. It was the only English cathedral that was destroyed at the Reformation. They didn't need it as a big parish church for the city because they already had two huge medieval parish churches, one of which became the cathedral in 1918. But the Reformation means that there were no historic funds, no ancient bequests, nothing on which we could build. You know, Christchurch, Oxford got given a little village called Knightsbridge. It's made life easier for them through the years. Coventry Cathedral, not so much. We had no property to dispose of, no historic assets. We have two cathedrals to maintain because the ruins are as much part of the cathedral as is the Spence Cathedral. And nothing with which to do it.
This leads beautifully onto my next question for you, which is, what is the best thing about Coventry Cathedral?
Ooh, what is the best thing about Coventry Cathedral? I think I just love having colleagues. That's really the best, is the people I work with and the fact that we can open the doors and the world will come in. Those two things. Before I came, I think I thought the best thing would be being somewhere where there was good music, because that's always been very important for me. And towards the end of my time in my last parish, the cathedral choir came and did evensong, and I found myself just weeping throughout the whole service. And I thought, ooh, I wonder if someone's trying to suggest something to me here. And that certainly is a joy, but actually it's being part of a team and having interesting people around every day.
So the last of these three questions... what sort of church would you like your children to inherit?
A church where they can be themselves and they will not have to feel they have to compromise either what they believe about humanity or their identity or that of their friends. A church that has enough reality.
I'm not supposed to know, but... we were running a building project at one of our places and I left, it was kind of more or less at the very last place to go, and I left them to get on with it while I was on sabbatical and the builder pulled out.
Ah, so, yes, yeah, that counts as faff as well.
That's
yes.
quite a lot of yes. faff there.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the buildings are really important in our mission, and not having them because we have got them would be a negative step. But if you were trying to invent a machine to share the gospel and to encourage people into relationship with God, it wouldn't look like this, would it, really?
I don't think so. And I find that people make assumptions about the money in the church
because
we've got the buildings. And I say to people, okay, who is going to buy our building? That is our main asset. Who can I sell it to?
Yeah.
And of course, we can't. They're
exactly.
not really assets. They're liabilities.
Huge liabilities. Yes, and as you say, and I think particularly in a cathedral, because there's a certain kind of basic standard of put-togetherness, people assume that that's supported by, you know, huge infrastructures. And it's really not. I mean, I had a bigger children's work budget in my last parish, which was in a deprived council estate, than I do now.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The roundup question is always, what is your favourite thing beginning with tea?
Oh dear, that's surprisingly difficult. Talis. Whom we could either be the composer or my cat. So I am, in fact, Talis's canon.
That's hilarious. No one.
He preceded my appointment by some years.
No one else has chosen Talis.
That's not a surprise, really.
No, absolutely perfect for you, Catherine. I'm going to say thank you very much for having me here in Coventry Cathedral.
It's a great pleasure. We should go and drink tea now, shouldn't we?
We should. It's lovely to see you.